My goodness, ladies, what's some good soup? Good, good, good. I tell you, Campbell's does a great job. Just kidding. Who did Campbell's? She was never lean, and there's never cheese. That was good. Thank you very much. Them crackers were, who made the crackers? They were probably the best I've ever had. They were good, weren't they, Michael? Crackers was good. And that ice, my goodness, man, the way y'all cube it, I mean, it's phenomenal. All right. No, it was good. Thank you, ladies, very much. You ever wondered why people live without the Lord? I mean, stop thinking about that. Help me out, because I can't figure it out. Why would people live without God? Why would people travel up and down the road in the dark with their lights off? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would anybody do that? I try to think about that. Why would people want to live without the Lord? Why would they go another day? Well, think about things like this. I think that a lot of times people really think that they're okay. Really don't see it. They really don't see it. Because why does a man not see anything wrong with his boozing? Why does man, human, why does he not see she anything wrong with boozing? Because, you know, I talk to a lot of people who says, I'm saved. But there ain't nothing wrong with me drinking a beer here and there. And a beer here and there is a case on the weekend. I mean, why don't they see? And they're adamant about it. They're very adamant about it. They'll argue with you about it. Why don't people see anything wrong with their sexual misconduct, sex sins, fornication, adultery? Why don't people see anything wrong with that? Why don't people see that stuff for what it is and just scream their way to God? Because they don't see it. They don't see anything wrong with it. You understand what you see what I'm saying? They're in the dark. They really don't see it. Wonder why people don't think anything much of their jealousy. Why is that green-eyed monster so alive and well? He's stronger than he's ever been, that green-eyed monster. He's bigger and stronger than he's ever been in people's lives. That jealousy. And that jealousy, why ain't people screaming their way to God that's eat up with this jealousy and gossip? People, esteeming others lower than themselves, less than themselves. Not as good as themselves, instead of esteeming others better than themselves. What gives people the right to talk about other people? Gossip sessions. That's just being in the dark. If we could see what that stuff or what it really was, it would tear us up. What a backbiting, huh? That backbiting. Talking about people behind their back and stuff. That whispering. And one of the worst that I think it stinks worse than anything that I've ever smelled was this thing of self-righteousness. This halo wearing. This holier than thou. This, I'm better than they are. You know, here's self-righteousness for you. I ain't never done nothing like that. You want to know why you ain't never done nothing like that? Because you're self-righteous. I like what Paul said. I don't know if anybody in here is any sharper than Paul. I think Paul said, made a good statement when he said that he was the chief of sinners. That's a pretty good statement. There's so many things that don't seem to bother people that ought to be bothering us. But the reason it don't bother them is because they're in the dark. I mean, I got loved ones. I got family that can live in adultery and drunkenness and everything else. And they'll argue with you that they're saved and they're okay. They're okay. They think they're okay. You know why? And they honestly believe that they're okay. You know why? Because they're in the dark. They're in the dark. And it may be that they're going to die in the dark because they've had enough light shown in their life. Listen to me. They've had enough light shown in their life to save the entire world 10 times over. And they have refused that light and disallowed that light to have preeminence in their life. God might be the one that said, okay, big boy, lights out. and just let them live in darkness the rest of their life. When does God say, lights out? When does God say, no more? My son ain't going to be rejected by you no more. No more opportunity will you have to reject my son no more. Lights out. Because God can. And I ain't saying that to be spooky or nothing else. I'm just saying God can. I think God gives people an opportunity to be saved. And I mean, you know, one time is enough. We sit in church and have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And yet there's people in the world that ain't never heard anything that you've heard. People are in the dark and they cannot see where they're at. They cannot see their problems. They cannot see their position with God. They cannot see that. But through the preached word of God, that's what God does. God begins to reveal where we are. That's right. That's why I said that word of God will read you like a book. Can I tell you why people have no victory in their life? And I touched on this the other day. People have no victory in their life because they're in the dark. Oh, yeah, they can be on top of the mountain for a day or two. Then all of a sudden, boom, it's gone again. Nothing real. No lasting victory. Hey, listen, victory ought to be in your life if your world gets turned upside down and inside out and you lose every stinking thing you got. You still can lay down in the middle of the wood patch somewhere. And it doesn't matter if it's a gravel pile or a thorn pile. And you can have victory in Jesus no matter what. Man, you could be going through it. You could be in the valley. You can go, you know, you can have the darkest storm that you ever been through. And still, down in your heart, have peace and victory. You may not be shouting, but you can have victory. The reason people don't have it is because they're in the dark. No real victory. Can I tell you what the light will do? It'll change your world. The light will change it, your world. It just does. It'll give you a brand new start. It'll help you see things and understand things that you never dreamed of. I know that I'm a weirdo, and that's fine. I'm over all that, caring about all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there's nothing in this world much that thrills my soul than to hear the birds sing. I just love it. I love to hear it. Because that song is a song that God give. God give the birds a song to sing. And I really enjoy hearing the birds sing in the morning. I love it. I love to be able to take time when I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus to hear a song from the mouth of a little baby bird. I love it. I love it. And I know there's lost people that can enjoy, you know, nature and bird watching and you know, protect their woodpeckers. And if a woodpecker didn't have a red breast, I always tried to give it a red breast. Mama said, don't you shoot them. I said, man, my mama used to tell us not to shoot them cardinals. I'd chase 1-2 miles to shoot it. I thought confetti was going to fly out. I thought it was like busting one of them pinatas. I thought you shoot, man, one of them and candy was going to fly out of it. Yes. Don't y'all do that. Michael, we had them BB guns, and one BB wasn't enough, so I would put a BB in the barrel, then I'd get my other BBs and start dropping them down the barrel so it'd be like a shotgun. You know, add BBs, because you couldn't get but one up in that chamber, but then you could drop several of them down in there, and I thought, man, that'd be it. Boom, you know, go up there.
I never did shoot anything like that.
I never did shoot anything like that, so I messed everything up, but hey, I had fun doing it. Preacher, listen. You're contradicting yourself. I know sometimes it seems like it. Preacher, I'm in the dark. I can't get to Jesus. I'm in the dark. I've tried. Listen to me. Preacher, you contradicting by saying, you know, people's in the dark. They can't see where they're going. They're stumbling along the way. And man, they have to do this and they have to do that. Preacher, I've tried. I've made an attempt to get to him. I can't. How do I get to Jesus in the dark? How do I find my way to God in the dark, preacher? You back here where you can't see me. Can you see me? Standing, can you see me? Mama, can you see me?
No.
Michael?
No.
Jesus! Jesus! Have mercy on me!
Tell you what he'll do.
He'll come to where you at. You don't have to get there. I tell you, sometimes all you got to do is just start crying out, just like old blind Bartimaeus. When you can't get to him, thank God he can get to you.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I like the little song, when I could not come to where Jesus was, thank God he came to me. You hear me? I'm telling you, friend, thank God it was God that found me in the bottom of that horrible pit. It wasn't me that jumped up out of a horrible pit and found God. I was in the bottom of that horrible pit, and I cried as Bartimaeus cried, "Have mercy on me! Have mercy on me!" And the tide of all mercy showed up in my life and said, "Let there be light." Sometimes all you got to do is seek him through prayer. I mean, man, you don't have to go looking for him, because you're going to fumble around in the dark and he'll tell him what you might end up in. I tell you, if you'll fall out somewhere on your face and beg God for mercy and beg God for help and beg God, I mean, the man, show up in my life. I need you. I tell you what that God will do. It's his will, friend, to shine light in your life. That's his perfect will for everybody in here. He would like nothing more than to shine his light in the heart of every soul that's in this place today. Nothing more. John chapter 9. You see in verse 1 that there was a man that was blind from his birth. And I was thinking about that old boy. You talking about darkness, man. Just blind. He never seen the light of day. Man, I tell you, the Bible said, look here. You think he got to where Jesus was? Oh, no, friend. I tell you what he did do. Amen. He sat there until Jesus came by. And when Jesus came by, thank God, you know what happened? Jesus touched him and made him see. Amen. Can you imagine after Jesus passed by, that man didn't get to where God was. God got to where he was. Amen. Amen. I just like it, man, the religious crowd. They begin to question, and that's what folks do today. They start asking all them questions. And I just like that old man's answers. He said, I tell you, I don't know all them answers. He said, but one thing I do know, whereas I once was blind, but now I see. Thank God this man Jesus passed by. And I'm telling you, he spoke sight into me. And thank God the light came into my life. And I see for the first time, I seen the lily in the valleys. I seen the rose of Sharon. I'm telling you, I seen the bright morning star. For the first time, I saw the light. Amen. Light. Do you imagine that boy going home? Think about it. His mom and dad's in there. First time in his life, he saw his mom and daddy in that light. Oh, he had been seeing his mom and daddy with his hands all them years. But now all of a sudden, thank God, because of Jesus, he got to see his mom and daddy in a way he never saw. Man, he saw things like he never saw. That's what I'm told, my friend. That's what Jesus will do for you. He'll help you see things like you never saw. Amen. Hey, he'll help you understand. Man, you'll see why people get crazy at the house of God. You'll see why people take off and run last. You'll see why people get excited. You'll see what all the excitement's about. You'll see something about the joy of the Lord. You'll see that peace. You'll see these things when Jesus gives you the light. Right. You'll see things like you never saw before. You'll see things that you never dreamed of. Amen. I'm telling you, sunset's beautiful, ladies and gentlemen. A sunrise is beautiful, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you, coming off that mountain up there in Boone, North Carolina, heading 421 south, you just cross that Blue Ridge Parkway and start looking to the right. Amen. I'm telling you, man, you talking about beauty. Looking out through there, it's a sight to behold. I promise you, son, anybody in the right mind will say, man, that's beautiful. And I tell you, when you look at that thing as a child of God, it looks completely different. Hey, amen. I'm talking about people coming from all over the country to travel that Blue Ridge Parkway for that sight seeing. But man, when you get born again and Jesus, thank God, shines his light in your heart, you see that stuff in a whole different realm. Friend, that's your creator out there. That's the King of Kings out there. You see the hand of God. You see the breath of God. You see it in a way that you never saw it before. I tell you, it's altogether lovely. Man, it's the way you get to see things through the eyes of God. First time that old boy. Hey, could you imagine? I don't know if y'all have ever Googled it, but a mustard tree is a pretty sight to see when that thing's in bloom.
I'm telling you, a mustard tree is a beautiful tree. Could you imagine all them years somebody told that old boy about some mustard trees over there? And for the first time, thank God, Zach, on his way home that day, he passed by and saw one of the prettiest things he ever saw, that bright gold bloom in that tree with all them branches and all God's birds just landed in them branches. You hear me? I'm telling you, friend, he saw some things that he never got to see before. It's a wonderful thing. You can see what it's all about. Amen. Walking around in the dark, you can't see. Wonders of God. I see them mountains up there, man. I just think, boy, that's God. Nobody else can do that. It's that big Linville Gorge up there, that Wilson's Creek. Y'all, I'm telling you, man, that Wilson's Creek, you took your mask with boys down there and tried to kill them. And it's a wonderful, y'all didn't die. I mean, it's amazing. They all took off in through there and come back, and they all had holes in their pants. And them rocks would tear y'all to pieces. But you know, these people come from National Geographic and everything to be able to go down through there, because you're going down through that Wilson's Creek. It's one of the fishing hotbeds in this part of the country. I mean, they write articles about this place. Man, they come down through there and got them mountains going up through there. I mean, just a sight to behold. And man, they're just looking at it as that natural beauty. But I tell you, friend, when you get to going down through there, I tell you, we go up there to Letchworth State Park, and there's some things to see, ain't there? I mean, it's beautiful up there. But when I look out there, y'all, I see God. Amen. I look out there at Letchworth State Park, man. I get to see that river just carved out between them mountains, son. I get to think, couldn't nobody do that but God. Just God. It's amazing. Look down through there, man. You see all them beautiful rocks and trees and that river. Next thing you know, some old bird, some big hawk or something, just a sword down through there. That's God, friend. Ain't nobody do that but God. He'll let you see some things when you get born again. Man, I tell you, even, hey, look, ain't a whole lot got to be going on. God will let you see some things that'll stir your soul. Watch this, and I try to hurry. Watch this in John chapter 3. I tell you what, let's go there. Let's look at John chapter 3. I just want you to see this with your own eyes. I want you to see what God said about this thing. And I want you to go home and cuss God about it. That's right. Go home and tell God what a fool and what an idiot he must be, how wrong. I want you to go home and tell God he's wrong about what he's fixing to tell you. Don't get mad at me. I mean, you can, but it ain't going to do you no good. Get mad at God about this. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Look at what verse 16 says. I mean, look, what is this? "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Watch this. "And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light." Why? Why do men love darkness rather than light? Hey, God. God. Hey, God. Why do men love darkness rather than light? Because their deeds were evil. You want to know why you ain't saved? Because you love your evil deeds. Now tell God he's a fool. Amen. I've examined this thing, Zach said, why in the name of God does people know they're saved and don't want to be not saved, and they don't want to be saved? Because they love their evil deeds. Now you tell God what a fool he is, but he's the one that said it. Because I've asked God, why? Why does a man not want to be saved? I mean, I've searched for all kind of answers. But I'm so glad, thank God, the answer was laying in the Word of God. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light." For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Preach, I don't hate God. You're a cussing liar is what you are. You hate God. You hate God. You're saved. You're lost because you hate God. That's why you're lost. give a flip. You tell your mama, your daddy, your dad, stinking grandma, anybody you want to. I'm going to tell you why people ain't saved. You hate God. You hate God. You hate God. You hate God. That's why people are lost. They hate God. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You're evil, friend. That's why you're lost, because you're evil. I wish God would tell me what it takes. I wish I knew what I was missing. You're evil, friend. You're evil. And you hate God. Is that what your Bible just said? Or is that what your loudmouth preacher just said? Thank you. This condemnation for everyone that doeth evil, hateth the light. Now watch this. Why won't they be saved? Neither cometh to the light. Why? Why? Lest their deeds, his deeds, should be reproved. Nobody wants to get that junk in there reproved. You know how many things is inside of a man's heart? You know how many secret things is laying in your black, dark, wicked as hell heart? You don't want that junk dug up. You don't want that junk reproved. You're so ashamed. Oh, dear God, I don't want that. You wouldn't dare let Jesus Christ expose that stuff. You've got so many bars and chains. Listen to me. Hey, let me put it in Bible terminology. You've got so many fig leaves covering them secret sins. God can't hardly uncover it. Time to get the stinking fig leaves off. You hear me? God comes walking in the garden, friend. Finds you over there covered up with all them leaves covering your sin. God knows what you're hiding. And I tell you, the Bible said you won't come to the light. Why can't I get? Because you ain't willing to come to the light so your deeds will be reproved. You don't want God to uncover that. You love them fig leaves. Right. Bless God Almighty, it ain't 14,000 other people. You're sorry as hell and full of hell. That's what it is. You love the darkness. Your deeds are evil. You can blame it on who you want to, what you want to. But I'm telling you what God said. You will not come to the light lest your deeds be reproved. What's wrong? That's God's answer. That's God's answer for me. God, why won't they get saved? Because they love darkness rather than light, David. Their deeds are evil. They don't want to be reproved. That's what God says. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. I don't hate God. Who hate God? Yeah, people hate God. You know what? Them people are usually the last ones to know it. God knew it a long time ago. He ain't turned you into a frog yet. What do you think? God's going to turn you into a frog for you telling him the truth? He already knows. He knows your heart. He knows the intent of your thoughts. He knows every imagination. He knows this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. He's waiting for the day for you to dawn on you. And you go, God, of a truth it is. I have hated you for some time now. That's your first steps. Being honest is your first steps to getting to him. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. That's why people won't come to the light. That's why they won't come to Jesus. Let's be honest. You want to know why? This is why. Lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Amen. Oh, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you, when a man's walking with God, he wants him. Hey, listen, friend. You want to know why I like to let my light shine? Somebody said it a while ago. I like to let my light shine so that other people can see my good works and glorify my Father, which is in heaven. Right. See, it shines forth his praises. Right. It shines forth his praises when you let your light shine. Amen. People can see him. Lord, and preacher, you always let your light shine? No, every once in a while I let my flesh shine. My carnality, I should say. I let my carnality shine. That's right. I let that old carnal nature kick in and just take over. That's right. But that ain't no excuse for you to die and go to hell now, because your preacher lets his carnality kick in. I could quit preaching today and smoke dope the rest of my life, and God will never accept that on your behalf of going to hell. Honey, God will never accept, hey, I could stop today and be a drunk whore. God will never accept that for you, an excuse to die and go to hell. Well, my preacher was a, my husband was a preacher. My friend was a preacher. My brother was a preacher. Hey, listen, my neighbor was a preacher. And he started chasing women and drinking liquor. God said, yeah, and you spit in the face of my sacrifice and you rejected my only begotten son and you'll die and go to hell. Make all the excuses you want to. God says that people that have heard the gospel will not come to the light. And they do this because they love darkness rather than the light, because your deeds are evil. I want you to understand, God said that your deeds, your doings, your ways, you're evil. He said you have an evil heart. You don't even love the light. You love your darkness. Because if you love the light, you'd come to the light. But you will not come. But you will not come. You will not come that you might have life. It ain't that I ain't tried to show you. It ain't, bless God, that I failed somewhere. I'm speaking for God. It ain't that I've missed it somewhere. It ain't that I ain't done enough. I've done. What more can I do than I've done? What more can I have done than I've already done? What else do you need from me? God said in Isaiah. What else do you need from me? You don't need a stinking thing from me. He said, you will not come that you might have life. God don't need to do nothing. He don't need to tell you nothing else. God don't need to expose nothing else. Everything that needs to be exposed is already exposed. You love your darkness because you got an evil, wicked heart and you want to dwell in that darkness. You don't love the light. You hate God. There ain't no in between. Well, I like God. I'm fun. Listen, I don't want to hear that junk. You either love him or you hate him. No man can serve two masters. Amen. Amen. No, thank God for the word of God. It'll corner you, friend, and make you have to make a real decision instead of an excuse. No man can serve two masters. Either he'll love the one and hate the other. No in between. No liking. No fondness. You either love him or you hate him. You either in or you out. It's good. You either right or wrong. Right. The word of God's right. So here's what's the problem. Zechariah. The light brings shame. Eric, the light brings guilt. The light brings conviction. Yeah. Boy. And I like the way old Brother Askell put it. The ugliest thing he ever saw was when he saw himself like God saw him. Man, that ain't easy. You know, I've often said that salvation is the easiest thing on planet Earth. Now, we do complicate it. We do complicate it. We get our humanism involved and our peony little brains involved, and we could put all our brains together and multiply them times 10 billion and they would still peony, be peony to God. Wouldn't be enough to mount to nothing in a thimble. Just can't match up to him. Brings shame, it brings guilt, it brings conviction. The light reveals things done in the dark, and you don't dare want to allow that stuff to be brought to light. Excuse me for being carnal, but there was an old country song one time, and the words went, the lights are on, but nobody's home. Lights are on, but nobody's home. And that means that you can be here today and I can say all this, and for some reason, you still ain't getting it. Because the lights are on, but ain't nobody home. Well, one of the things I like to do when I leave, turn the lights out. I don't like to waste money. Don't like to waste that energy. But I always try to leave a little lamp on because I don't like coming in the dark. Leave me a little lamp on. And you know, just kind of like welcomes me back to the house. You know, you can see your way in and through, and you find yourself to a light switch somewhere and get you some real light. But see, hey, a lot of times you go to the house of God and the lights is on, Jesus is doing his thing, and folks are still just going about their merry way, just ain't getting it. Just ain't getting it. And every once in a while, I'll say something really stupid because you hear me all the time and hear all my little antics and all that kind of stuff. And every once in a while, I might throw a little old something out there about half stupid just to get a jolt out of you. Because you don't hear much. You don't hear much. And I try to get you out of that. I ain't being ugly. I'm being honest. Listen to what your Bible says. Romans 1:21 says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Isn't this something when God turns the lights out? Isn't it something that you can be exposed to the light? Isn't it something that the Word of God can be exposed to you and you can be exposed to it? And man, you can be pricked in your heart and God can stir in your heart. All that kind of stuff can happen. And yet you don't deal rightfully with God. And God finally comes to the point where he says, okay, I'm going to darken your heart. And we're more concerned about that, Miss Holly, than we are getting born again. Isn't that amazing? That we're more concerned about God being done with us than we actually are having a fellowship and relationship with him. You're not being nearly as bothered with God turning the lights out as you are bothered that you ain't got a relationship with him today. That ought to bother you now, friend. That ought to bother you. Both of them ought to bother you. But I think us not having a relationship ought to be top priority in our lives. It ought not be the fact that, well, I better do something or God's going to be done. No, I'm going to do something because I want a relationship with him. Right. It's what scares me. Here's what scares me. I fear that some of you aren't serious enough about your souls. If you ain't careful, God's going to turn your lights off. I get fearful sometimes for some of the people that play this game with God. And you got to have somebody else's testimony. Let me tell you something. God's going to give you your own testimony. Forget everybody else's testimony as far as that goes. Let God give you your own testimony. Your salvation don't have to be like everybody else's salvation or anybody else's salvation. One thing that Joe Walker said years ago, he said, it don't matter if you're in Hawaii or if you're in Japan or if you're in Cambodia or if you're in America. It don't matter where you're at in this world. Everybody's going to get saved by the same Jesus. Amen. Everybody's going to get saved by the same exact Jesus. Amen. The same way. But every one of them will have a different testimony. Every one of them. Have a different way that God approached them and dealt with them. Listen, friend, your testimony don't have to match up to mine. Be better for you if it don't. Your testimony don't have to line up with Brother Sammy's. Your testimony don't have to line up with your heroes or your zeros or anybody else's. Listen to me. Here's who your testimony needs to line up with. You see my finger? That book. That's who your testimony needs to line up with. As long as, praise God, as you can put your finger in that book right there and show me that you're saved, that's all that matters in this world. Hallelujah. 10,000 times. Hallelujah. That's all that matters. It don't matter if you got it like I got it. It don't matter if you got it like they got it. All that matters is you got it like this book says. As long as it lines up with that book, it's a wonderful, it's the best testimony, hallelujah, that you could ever have. Right. Forget everybody's testimony that it's got to be this way or that way. You don't have to look at me and my God-given eyeballs. I'm so sick and tired of something. You don't have to wait 10 years, bless God, to get saved. You just want to live 10 years in your wickedness. If you'll come clean with God, God will save you today. If you'll come clean with God, God will save you, Johnny, on the spot. He's not delayed. He will not tarry. God's will is to save you. But you will not come. You will not come. I don't know how much plainer to preach it. I didn't get saved like a lot of these people get saved. I didn't spend 2 days looking for God. I've done denied God so much, I thought for sure, Miss Amber, he'd done turned my lights up forever. Until I sat right there that night in the lap of the Holy Ghost. And for the first time in a long time, God shined his light into my heart. And that night, praise God, I come clean with him. That night. God didn't have to do nothing else. Didn't have to do a whole bunch. I'm 10 years lost on my way to hell. I done committed every crime against God that I could possibly commit. I done broke every one of his laws. Man, God let me see me for what I really was. That's all I needed, friend. God have mercy on me. I need God to show me 49 million things through the years. I didn't need that. So I was ready for a relationship with Jesus. Man. You mark it down. I'll still stand by this stuff. Because y'all got good memories. I was talking about some stuff Wednesday night. And really lined up with the stuff you were saying this morning, Zach. And I said, don't tell me that you quit smoking for evidence of salvation. I quit a lot of that stuff, Mike, before I even got saved. God put his finger on stuff like that. I started repenting before I even got saved. I was out there fishing, lost as a goose in a hailstorm. I was out there fishing in a fishing tournament and forgot my drinks. I told you the story. Forgot my drinks. Was in a 12-hour tournament, 36 hours, 12 hours a day. It was out there in the heat of the summer, sun beating down, and being out there on that lake, that sun reflecting off that water like a mirror. Man, I got hot. I got parched. I got dry. And I ate me a sandwich and got to looking for my drinks and didn't have one. My partner had a cooler full of beer. Have a beer. God didn't put his finger on that beer in my life, Mom. I was lost. I said, no, I ain't going to drink no beer. He said, man, just a beer. Just get, solve your problem. I said, no. And I reached over to Steve in Salmon Creek. Got me some handfuls of water and parched that old thirst. That don't make me spiritual or not spiritual, but God put his hand on some things before I even got saved, son. I quit drinking, you hear me? That wasn't evidence. Amen. That wasn't evidence. But there were some things God put his finger on before I got saved, and I didn't even know why God was putting his finger on it. I don't even know why God was messing with me on some of that stuff. I just knew that I needed to quit. Amen. Man, I changed on all that stuff. I've done. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It ain't just light, ladies and gentlemen. It's marvelous. Amen. Marvelous. Amen. It's a marvelous thing. Amen. That's a little better than just a thing. It's a marvelous thing. Which in times past, David Vernon, you were not a people, but are now the people of God. That's what you are, boy, you little nobody. You're a people of God now, son. Listen to what he said. But now, hallelujah, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. Steve, I think you can understand this. If anybody can understand it, you want to know why folks ain't merciful? Because they ain't never obtained no mercy. Never obtained no mercy. But if you've ever been in the position, ladies and gentlemen, where you really needed mercy, it's a little bit easier to have it over others. Tell you what God's done. God has put himself in a position for mercy. I'm going to tell you what he does on us. He has mercy. Every day, fresh and new mercies for us every day. And it comes through the light of God, his dear son, Jesus Christ, having mercy on you. I like that definition that Brother Zach gave in here. How'd you say it, Zach? The grace of God is God giving us what we don't deserve, and the mercy of God is God not giving us what we do deserve. And that old boy, old Paris Reed Head, was talking about some of the same stuff and made that statement. You don't deserve God. He deserves you. We wasn't created. He wasn't created for us, but we was created for Him. Man, I tell you, I wish you'd come to the light. I want you to pray this week. I want you to pray. We're coming into this thing. We're coming into this meeting, and I want you to take time this week. Listen, this could be the week. You ever thought about it? Do you care enough about your soul to go, Lord, this could be the week that God, you saved my soul. This could be the week. This could be the week, God, that you do something in my heart, my life, that I so desperately need. This could be the week that I obtain that great mercy from God Almighty. I need you to examine yourself and spend some time with the Lord and ask Him, could this be the week? Lord, could this be the week that you do something in my life? Could this be the week, God, that you do something in my home? Examine yourselves and asking yourself, wouldn't you like to be a child of God? I ain't going to turn my back to you. That's the name of sitting right there. Here I am. You in your living room. Would I like to be a child of God? Would I like to be a child of God? And examine yourself. Would I like to be a child of God? Weigh the balances, man. A child of the darkness, a child of the day. There's not even a comparison. Preacher, I'm not ready. Preacher, I really ain't ready to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not ready to be partakers of that mercy. I'm not ready for that. I'd rather stay right here. God help us. God help us. Right in here, buddy. I preached a message on just being crazy in the head, not thinking right. And the devil's got our minds so messed up, we can't even think right anymore. Can't even think right. God help us to get our minds right. Because that's what repentance comes up in, man, just a change of mind. You're going to have to change that old mind. We need God to change our mind. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I, as your pastor, have to practice that verse often and go over it, go over it, go over it. Because, man, that carnal mind wants to come in place so many times. What's hindering you from being a child of God? Let's just get after it and seek God through prayer. Huh? That's how you seek Him. You get in that prayer closet and you just seek Him through prayer. And you get in that book and let God speak to you. We're in this thing together, ladies and gentlemen. I think about you every day of my life. I'm in this thing for you and with you. I'm here for you, man. I'm on your side. I'm on your team. I'm praying for you. I'm interceding for you. I'm agonizing for you. And I'm burdened for you. All that stuff. I'd rather see this congregation saved and sold out than anything in this world. I want to see you live prosperous and happy lives. I sure do. I want to see them girls raise up and be girls for the glory of God. I want to see Isaiah and Seth and Nathan and Benji and Jonathan them raise up. Stephen, I want to see these kids raise up in here and be men of God. You know, leading their homes. I mean, man, teaching Sunday school, laymen, deacons, preachers. I mean, serving the Lord with a whole... I'd like to see you do good in life. Have good jobs, make decent money, live comfortably. That's the humanism in me. I'd like to see that. But I'd rather see you live in a cardboard box and get to heaven. Yeah. Amen. I'd rather see you have to stand on a street corner and beg for your next meal versus dying and going to hell in your prosperity and goodness. Right?
God help us. I know this, ladies and gentlemen. I know some of y'all have some deep-rooted junk in your heart and in your life. I know that.
It would make us sick to hear some of y'all's honest testimonies in here. Some stuff that's hidden in your heart. I know that. But you know what? I don't know what it is. But there's a God in heaven that knows all about it. And he still loves you enough to send his only begotten son to die on an old rugged cross for you. And he's still his perfect will to save you and to bury that stuff in that sea of forgetfulness, friend, never to be remembered again. God ain't wanting to take all that deep. Listen to me, because the devil will lie to you, friend. But God ain't wanting to bring all that stuff out so you can tell everybody in this congregation all them deep-rooted things that you've hid for years and years. Hey, man, deal with that with God. Take that to God. I don't need to know some of that junk. Nobody in here needs to know some of that junk. But what has to happen is you're going to have to come clean with a holy God.
And old brother Pat, he said, God knows what to do with it.
Amen. He's a propitiation for our sins.
Man, he's a place to take that stuff and dump it.
Sure he is. Eric,
our God's a master plowman, ladies and gentlemen. He can get down to the nitty-gritty if you'll let him. He's already tried, but you put them fig leaves up. You sewed you some leaves together. You put a few bars and chains up and kept God out.
That's right. You need to take the bars and chains and just rip the fig leaves off and come naked and clean before God and say, God, here I am.
Do with it what you can. Be amazed at what God can do.
Eric, I was going to tell you, I go on Craigslist quite a bit. I like to try to flip automobiles. I like to try to find a good deal on them and try to maybe sell them and make some money. And every once in a while, man, you got to move quick. You know, you see one that's a good deal. It's here today, gone tomorrow. You got to have the money on hand. And that's my problem, Miss Amber. I see the deals every once in a while, but I ain't got the money. Man, I found one early this morning, a Chevrolet Z71 that had about 127,000 miles. I believe I could get it for about $9,000 four-door. Beautiful black truck. I said, man, I believe I can get that. You could flip that thing, sell it for about $14,000 and take and give a missionary some money and fund this meeting. Just anything like it. Man, you could do stuff like it.
But you know what I noticed? Anybody else look at Craigslist cars? Anybody ever look on there?
You do? Good, Michael. You'll know what I'm talking about. The rest of you can check it out.
You know the best looking cars I've ever seen on Craigslist? And I've looked at a bunch of them. You know the best looking ones I've ever seen? The salvage titles. For some reason, they look better than every stinking car on there. Man, it's just like a Photoshop picture. It looks better. The background's better. I mean, man, it just looks better. They take them things and shine them up. Brand new paint jobs. They look like $1 million and you keep scrolling down. It's just title, salvaged.
Now, that may bother some people. It don't bother me a whole lot for a personal vehicle, but it kind of hurts selling them.
I wish some of y'all could have seen me before God come and dug me out of that trash pile.
I wish you could have seen me when I was down there wrecked and ruined in the junkyard. And God came by and salvaged. You know what he did? He didn't put on there salvaged.
That ain't what he put on my title.
He read my title clear. And he didn't just salvage me, you understand? He rebirthed me. He made all things new. He didn't just repair it, he replaced it. Hallelujah. And that title now says clean. Amen. Amen.
Clean title, son. You know where I'm standing with God.
The God that created this thing, I stand clean with him, Zach.
Man, I stand perfect in the sight of God Almighty, a little nobody from nowhere, son. I'm telling you, boy, I wish you would have known me like God knew me and like I knew me. And I'm telling you, God, listen, they ain't never been a sinner too lost.
God couldn't save. Never been a sin too big that God couldn't forgive. Never. I tell you the same thing on that self-righteousness, man. God wants to do a work. Jesus will give you a new past. He'll give you a new present. He'll give you a new future. That's what he'll do. That's what the light of God does. Amen. He'll change things. Amen. That little song Brother Travis Clayton sings, I'm talking about the past, okay? The past. I'm not the man I used to be. Amen. If I live to be another day older, hey, listen, tomorrow, my past is a whole lot better than what it used to be, Stephanie, before God come to the trash pile and dug me out. That's right. He'll give you a good present and a good future. Right. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. Oh, my God, help us, Lord, to get a real understanding of John chapter 3. God, help us to come clean with it. God, help us to line up with it. God, we need to agree with it. Those of us that will not come to the light, God, we need to understand why. Lord, I pray, God, the devil's lied to us. He's bamboozled us. He's deceived us, whatever we want to call it. God, the answer is in John chapter 3. And I pray, God, that you'd help us, God, to come to terms. God, come to grips with that right there, dear Lord Jesus. Lord, so we can get the help that we need. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.